Welcome to episode 4 of Bibliotech, the podcast about emerging technologies for academics. In this episode, I discuss the difference between searching and browsing. Google searching has become a part of our everyday life. We use it to satisfy our idle curiosities, but it is important to note that academic searching is not quite like Google searching. Academic searching could be likened to a form of browsing. So I ask, what is the role of search in a university setting? If I were to say to you, search is dead, you might immediately think that that's the most absolutely wrong thing I could possibly say, given that the most popular website in the Western world is a simple white page with a single search box in the middle. So I should qualify. Google search is alive and well, dominating the idea of search to the point that Googling is a synonym for it. Google has performed the incredible feat of becoming so much a part of our existence that it feels like a part of ourselves. We type in the words and Google serves up the results as if it's easy. But not only that, Google is where we indulge in our idle curiosity. We search for things as if the process is private, like thinking. You Google search the same way you push on a sore tooth with your tongue, just to test your suspicions. If you ever get an unfortunate medical diagnosis, especially if it starts with a C, the first thing your oncologist will tell you is this: don't Google it. She says that because Googling it is likely to be your first act, like pushing on that sore tooth. We want to know how bad it is, privately, on our own terms. In this sense, search has become invisible, unconscious, the thing we do against the backdrop of the world's knowledge. That kind of search can't die, not soon anyway. With the scaffolding of all those details, we can free up our brains to focus on process, methods, and connections. It can be a stepping stone to greater ideas, being so unencumbered with individual facts, but being able to call them up at a moment's notice. That kind of search is now part of the fabric of internet culture, of Western culture.
Searching. Oh. Searching for you.
But what about search from an academic perspective? If you've ever attended a session by a librarian, you'll know that one of the first things she'll explain is that Google doesn't give you everything, and it certainly doesn't give you the best of academia on a platter. Scholarly literature is locked away in thousands of independent databases owned by publishers and distributors. You need to use scholarly tools to find scholarly sources. In our world, that means scholarly search engines. The search in research seems obvious, but the reality of academia doesn't rest all that much in searching. Our current focus on searching is a blip in the history of higher education and librarianship. The academy is far more of a directory structure, with a set of preferred sources laid out as a disciplinary canon, challenged, debated, shuffled, and replaced. Students new to a discipline can't so much search to find that canon through a search engine, Google or otherwise. They are told, through course readings, the reading list for comprehensive exams, lectures, guest speakers, and footnotes. A successful academic rarely relies on a list of search results as an indicator of value. The best way to learn about a discipline seems to be to sit at the feet of the masters and learn from them. The basic unit of finding in academia is not the intuitive searching of Google, but the scholarly context of works cited, advisors, and table talk. If keywords and hits are the currency of Google, the currencies of academia are citation and advice. The right material is displayed before you if you're looking in the right place or talking to the right person. But the academic library is largely ruled by the idea of searching in order to find, and it is made up not of just one search, like the simple search box that is Google. No, we provide many searches, all with their own quirks and tricks, with special language, a sea of headings, and advanced options. As simple as Google is, academic searching is dense, confusing, and requires special training. Our searches are tailored to the sources, shaped by them. You don't ask the catalog a question, but instead type in a title, an author, or a keyword. It's like looking something up in the dictionary. It's easy for me to say that Google search is just better. If we go by statistics or by general reputation, Google has clearly beaten us librarians at our own game. That is, if searching is our game. I'm not so sure it is. In fact, I'm almost entirely certain that it isn't. Not in a university library, anyway, and not for faculty. Many people who are comfortable typing into Google have no idea what they're searching. It's extremely common to see searches that are complete questions, things like, I'm looking for a place to buy socks, or there's this funny thing I feel in my throat when I climb up the stairs, or what's this thing on my carpet, complete with question mark. It's as if the searcher isn't so much searching as asking a question to the person they believe is behind the Google search, laying out a question and hoping that the amazing mind that lives in the internet will understand it and return an answer. And usually it does. There is very little general understanding of how Google works and how to talk to it, how Google collects the data that feeds your search results, and of course Google's algorithms are secret. In the library, you know precisely what you're searching. Scholar's Portal, or ProQuest, or the Journal of Early Modern History, or the library catalog. The questions you ask it are necessarily different. Academic searching isn't like Google searching. It's apples and oranges, even though they're both technically forms of search. You don't read a scientific journal article the same way you read a novel or a picture book. The same activity can employ an entirely different set of skills and intentions. Search is one of those things. Being a good Google searcher doesn't necessarily mean you're good at searching your library catalog or JSTOR or PubMed. But how much searching do you, as a graduate student, or a postdoc, or a faculty member, really need to do anyway? Once you know the key journals in your discipline and subdisciplines, where all the really meaty issues will be hashed out, you could just target your reading. You can get to know a particular section in your library, or get a feed of the latest books that fit within a set of Library Congress subject headings. You can tell your librarian what you're interested in, and she'll keep you informed of her purchases. You can join mailing lists, go to conferences, get advice from your peers and mentors. You can scan works cited and bibliographies and dig deeper through the web of citations. We have an old, strong, and deeply ingrained structure that will let you avoid search as we understand it in favor of a kind of browsing. Browsing is the thing largely thought to be killed off by the preciseness of the keyword-powered internet. Search isn't as serendipitous as idly wandering through the shelves looking for titles to jump out at you. Academia is a browsing culture shoehorned into a keyword world. We browse the shelves, bibliographies and footnotes, the tables of contents of journals and books, the advice of friends and colleagues, and various directories of the new and interesting. If an academic made a vow to never type a search term into any box anywhere for a year, I suspect he would be no less productive for it. If this is true, what should your library research process look like? Rather than rely on you to type in terms, couldn't the sheer context of you shape what you see? Your publications, your dissertation, the citations of your closest colleagues, the fluctuating but acknowledged canon of your discipline and subdisciplines, the works cited of current graduate students in your field across the globe, citation statistics of journal articles in the key journals you follow, the control vocabulary behind all these categories, couldn't it know you and present you with a field from which to not search per se, but find? To browse, to serendipitously stumble upon? Of course, as soon as we can show you everything that is well cited and well acknowledged, we can always turn it upside down and show you all the research that is rarely cited, largely unacknowledged, the hidden gems waiting for you to dust them off. This way, you don't search so much as tell a system the sort of work you're doing, the sort of questions you have, and ask it to modify the view, a shade more politics, turning a little to the botanical. Not a search box, but a color wheel, all gradations of tones. Good browsing relies on books placed in a logical order, using a system of classification that makes sense. No one classification system is perfect. Serendipity in a library is born in the difference between where I would put a book and where you would put it. If you don't think exactly the same way as the person who conceived of the classification system, books will be placed in ways that make little or no sense to you. The Library of Congress classification system has a certain logic to it, but it's never going to be everyone's logic. You can get a glimpse of the way a person sees the world by the way he organizes his books, and the library is no different. Every patron wants a special shelf in the library called My Projects, with just the books on it that he wants to see, in the order in which he wants them. With digital materials, electronic journals, and ebooks, we can finally give you that bookshelf, ordered the way you want to order it. If you want your history mixed in with government documents and literature, we can do that. Don't ever want to see anything published before 1990? We can do that too. It's really not a technological issue, this search versus browse question. We can do these things. It's a philosophical issue, a question about the role search has in a university setting, a question of whether you want your library to present you with a multitude of ways to search for things or as a special collection for you to browse. Anytime we present you with a selection of things, we leave other things out. Of course, given the volume of any academic library, some things are always left out. Your searching is always mediated by screens and lists. Is searching a special skill we have to teach, a necessary academic skill? Or is processing the contents of sources or sets of data with a critical eye the key part? Should your library know you and your work very well, so well it can deliver you a controlled but incredibly rich browsing experience? Or should it treat you as a stranger, your work your own business, protected in a cone of silence? Or is it somewhere in between? Both a complex and dizzying directory of joyous rabbit holes to fall into, and a semi-unconscious keyword slipping into a waiting search box. That's it for this episode. Questions? Thoughts? Send me a comment at the bottom of this podcast page at universityaffairs.ca. Until next time, I'm Rochelle Mazar.